Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Living by faith. I always like to write down the songs that Pastor E selects for this broadcast. So that was the first time I heard that one. So it kind of cut out right when I was like getting ready to get into it. So I got to make sure that I go back and listen to that song again, Living by Faith. Well, good evening, family. It's great to be before you again. As always, I am Pastor Valores, better known as Pastor V, over here in the Midwest. We finally got our summer going, so we're not as cold, but I almost had to turn on my heat in June. So hopefully everyone across the country is enjoying their weather, enjoying their summer. Please make sure that you are safe. Please make sure that you are looking out for your loved ones, because this is just a time where a lot of things is happening. So I definitely want to make sure that my broadcast family is safe. So I want to go ahead and get started. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we magnify you, glorify you, and we certainly lift you up on this evening, Lord. We just ask, Father, that you come into our hearts and our minds, Lord, and I ask, Father, that this word that you have given to me to give and feed to your people is received on glad hearts, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, that a change comes out of this world, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, like I heard on last night, they always say you don't leave the store without your change. You get the things that you need, but you always make sure that you get your change. So, God, we don't want to leave this broadcast without our change, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, again, I ask, Lord, that you just lift up and bless Pastor E, O Father, as he opens up this opportunity for us to be able to minister, O God. Lord, anything that is concerning him, Lord, I ask that you put it in order and that you set it straight right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. All right, family, we're going to start off and we're going to go to the word. There is no disclaimer that to give for the word is the word, but, you know, sometimes God gives me a hard one, so I'm hoping that y'all still love me and like me after this word, but it's a day and an hour where we're going to have to feed you, and we're going to have to feed you the real vegetables that you need. We're going to have to feed you the real meat that you need, because it's time out for a lot of fluff and stuff messages, because a lot of those that know God and are in God, in church, in the word, know the word and all those things is kind of falling by the wayside. So it is our job as leaders to make sure that we direct you and guide you, keep you in the fold, and if you kind of lost your way, to gather you back in. So that is my task on this evening. So we're going to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 24. A story that is very known in the Word of God, in the Bible, but we want to look at it today again. So don't close your ears and say, I've already heard this one. I've heard this preached 1,000 ways and 1,000 times, but God is still a revelation word. It still is a right now word, and God has a word for his people. So Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, hopefully you follow along with me. I apologize, I didn't write down what version I have, but the word says this. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattest calf, kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So today, my subject title is, it's about to run out. It's about to run out. Spirit of the living God, please fall on me. I wish we were all in the same room so I could tell you to turn to your neighbor so they could really understand what I just said, so you can tell them that it's about to run out. So hopefully that you understand what I just said. It's about to run out. Get that so deep in your spirit while I go through this message. What God revealed to me is that a lot of leaders down to the lay members have received the blessings and anointing of God, and they have decided that they were going to stop consulting God, and they decided to start doing things their own way, lean to their own understanding. Are you hearing me? So, hear what I said again. He revealed to me, and I'm going to tell you how, okay? But he revealed to me that leaders, lay members, people have taken the blessings of God and the anointing of God, and they have decided to take that and start doing their own thing, their own way, leaning to their own understanding. They decided that they had a better plan than God. They decided that they wanted to get to the top faster than what God was on, God's plan was allowing for them to get there. So they left, have taken the blessings and the anointing to do their own thing, and they have left the house, which means they have left the covering of God. So the house that I'm talking today is the covering of God. They're in the church. They're in the pews. They're in the pulpit. They're in the building, but they have left the house. And make sure, what I want to make sure tonight, that we do a self-examination. Hear me, okay? So I'm not preaching about them. I'm not preaching about they. They and them are included, but I need us to do a self-examination and make sure that we have not taken the good things of God, the goods of God, and decided that we're going to do what we want to do and not anymore consult with what God has designed for us to do. Because I need to tell you, it's going to run out. I remember a few months ago, I left work and I looked at my gas tank, okay? And I have one of those digital ones that read to you how many miles you got until the gas run out. Okay. So it said that I had like about 35, 31 miles until empty. Well, I had to get to where I was going quickly. So I thought to myself, I'm not going that far. Hear me. I said, I'm not going that far. I got in the car. I got about 5 miles to me. See, I'm a girl. I can't really calculate miles. I got about 5 miles to me down the road, and the car started to slow down because I relied on my own understanding. And I really can't tell you how many miles I really went, but all I can tell you is I ran out of gas. I don't want none of us to play with God and think that we have enough time to do what we want to do on the other side and got time to get back on this side. It will be very sad for you if you run out and never make it back. This word when I teach always hits my spirit. What I'm trying to say is when I've been teaching lately, this one word always seems to come up, and that's the word image. Many have stopped trying to reflect the image of God and instead trying to build an image of themselves. Hear me. Many are trying no longer trying to mirror the image of God or reflect the image in the light of God. What they're trying to do is build an image for themselves, a name for themselves, a ministry for themselves, a supernatural whatever for themselves. Come on now, we need to do a self-examination real quick. Are you really chasing after the image of God, or are you chasing after the reflection of yourself? They are taking their preaching, they're taking their singing, they're taking their gifts, and they're taking their money, and they're leaving the house, the covering, and the protection of God to go after the things of the world. It looks better behind the fence of this house because what they're doing, they're compromising. So hear what I'm saying. They're compromising with the world. They're making contracts with the world. They're bringing in people of the world into the church to do this, that, and the other. They're trying to make their name great, and they're following big and whatever else, and don't realize that is not of God. You've left the house. You still preach great. Oh, you still teach great. Oh, my goodness, you can sing down the house. But you're not under the covering of God. And I'm sad to tell you, it's going to run out. They're going and they're living it up, having a great time, not realizing that they're spending more to keep up this lifestyle than you're gaining. It's and only reason why I say that is knowing a little bit behind the scenes when it comes to putting on conferences and revivals and doing different things. I mean, all these people want to get paid, y'all. They want to get paid. The bigger the name, trust me, the greater the pay. Not all of them, please. I'm not trying, not all of them, because I know some of the great ones and they're very humble. But some of these no-name folkonym that want to put a $10,000 bill on you, for what? That's okay. That same word I was going to give you to preach, I'll preach it for free. They can't see that because the praise is coming in. Huh. That you did a good job is being said. They're hearing God is really on you. You're really anointed. God is getting ready to do big things and great things. They have traded the treasures of God for the treasures of praise and invitation. But I'm scared that it's going to run out on them. And the shame is going to be too great when it does. And the reason why I said that is because depression seems to be high among the leaders. Oh, I know I'm right about it. Suicide is high among pastors. Scandals and schemes to save the church and to save the image of the church is being used, and it's splitting and dividing and losing the people because you left the house. That's signs of it running out when you start becoming depressed, when thoughts of suicide, when people are leaving the church. That's signs of that what you took from God is running out. I need the preachers and the leaders and the people of God to get back home, huh, before it runs out. How do I know I left the house? How do you know that you left the house? How do you know that it's about to run out? It's because you're tired all the time. I already told you about the depression and the thoughts of suicide and starting to lose the members but you're starting to lose, you're starting to be tired. You're starting to lose your zeal. You're starting to be frustrated. You're starting to have to rob Peter to pay Paul, and I'm talking about in the ministry. Your mind, you can't seem to find peace for a second in your mind. It's always seems to be running. You're doing wrong, and it's starting to look good to you. That's how you know it's running out. Good people leaving your ministry. It's running out. I'm talking about good people. I'm not talking about the ones that are called and got to go. And I'm talking about just people that just up and leave. You can't even sit in quietness anymore and have prayer time because your mind has got to keep going and trying to figure out what to do next and how to do next, how to make this greater, how to make this bigger. You don't even pray anymore. It's running out. Listen, you don't have to get as low as the prodigal son. There is a cry out for you now in my prayer and many others for you to come back home. God is waiting on you to come back home. Trust me, I understand the quick fixes because you don't want to wait on God. The word says in Matthew 7:6, don't give that which is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before the pigs or the swine, lest they trample upon them with their feet and having turned and tear you to pieces. See, you have, my God, you taking the good things of God and you taking it out there to the world. The world don't care nothing about you. The world can care less about you. When you're leaving the covering of God, the world is going to trample you under their feet. They are not going to have no respect for your title, your position, your speaking in tongues, your 3,000-member church. They are not saved, and their job is to be a sinner. Listen, they have no respect to person. They don't care about dogging you out. They don't care about exposing you. They don't care about taking all your money and leaving you with nothing, an empty church, a foreclosed church, ministry, or what have you, and they send back rich. You can't go back and ask them for any of the money to help you to save the church. They're a sinner. That's not their job. That's not what they're going to do. It's the enemy's job to lure God's people away from the house. We forgot that. Somehow we forgot that. That is his job. You think he wants us there, especially those our leaders? You think he wants you preaching and getting people saved and delivered and minds changed? You forgot that he slowly will try to lure you out of the house. It is his job to make the other side look enticing and say that you can do it under the name of Jesus. Ooh. Oh, yes, I'm teaching good on this one. We've left God. We think that we're under his covering, but we've left his house, and we're not under it anymore. Matthew 23. I'm not going to try to read all of it, and I got the Message version, but I want you to just hear this when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, because the Pharisees weren't in the house of God. Remember, they weren't under the covering God because they thought they were leaning to their own understanding and the law and thought they had it all together. But listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 23, starting at verse 23. This is the Message version. I'm just going to do a little. You're hopeless. You religion scholars and Pharisees, you're frauds. You keep meticulous account of books, tithing on every nickel and dime you get. But on the meat of God's law, things like fairness and compassion, commitment, the absolute basics, you care less. You take it or leave it. Careful bookkeeping is commendable, but the basics are required. Do you have any idea how silly you look? Writing a life story that's wrong from the start to finish? You're hopeless. You're religion scholars and Pharisees. You're fraud. Do you hear him? He kept saying it. You're hopeless. Your religion is hopeless. You're frauds. You're like manicured grave plots, grass clipped and flowers bright, but 6 feet down, you're all rotten. Down to the bones, worms are eating of your flesh. You're hopeless. He just keeps saying it over. You're hopeless. Listen, I'm not trying to bring a message. I'm trying to bring a message of help and a message of healing. I'm bringing the word of God to you that is in my belly for this hour, because you got to understand, it came to me first. That's how I'm able to teach you this message. Remember, every time I've been on here for almost the last year plus, the message comes to me first. I cannot teach you past the revelation that God has given me first. Hear me when I say that this hit me. Valores, you have an anointing and a gift, but you keep leaving to play on the other side. You better come back in this house before you get caught out there and you left with nothing. Ouch. And I'm thinking to myself, and you know, you're going through your mind and you're trying to justify what God just said to you. I'm like, no, but God, I'm trying to. He said, but no, I call for holiness. I call for righteousness. I don't call for compromising. I call for the word to be the word. I call for my house to be my house. All this other stuff, that ain't me. and you taking your gift. You have a great gift of teaching. You have a great gift of preaching. You have a great gift of ministering to the lost and trying to bring, but you trying to take what I gave you and you trying to go over there to the other side. It's like that gas. It's going to run out on you. And understand this. I've been there once before when I told y'all before, when I turned my back on God for 3 years and I went back out there into the world. And I thought that it was all gone for me. I thought it was all bad, too sad, because I did not feel God. I did not hear God. I knew this word. I had been preaching for 10 years and for some reason could not figure out how to get my way back to God, because he had turned me over to a reprobate mind. I would open up the Bible and did not understand one word in that Bible. I would try to open up my mouth in prayer and nothing would come out. I just thought that I was doomed and on my way to hell. I said, well, I done turned my back on God. I done made him mad. There's no hope for me. I wish I could say I was sorry and get back into it. And God said, there is no secret what I would do. What I've done for others, I'll do for you. With arms wide open, I'll pardon you. There is no secret what I can do. All you got to do is repent. All you got to do is come back to the house. So I understand how I almost felt like there is no hope. But trust me, I don't want to get caught on that side again, because he allowed me to come back this time. I ain't going to get caught and I don't make it back next time. There are some preachers and some leaders, some pastors, ministers, evangelists. I don't care. There's some people, y'all, that's not making it back. They can't seem to find their way back home. And all they have to do is just stand still and call on God. That they don't even understand that. That's why I'm making this cry out to everybody. Come on back home. Check yourself. Examine yourself. Are you on the other side? Are you on God's side? Or are you doing the Chinese jump rope? Jump in, jump out, jump side to side, jump on. Clap in, clap out, clap side to side, clap on. Where are you at? Where are you at? Because God needs you in the house. Because those that are lost, yes, he wants us to go to the lost. Yes, he wants us to minister. Don't get me wrong on that. But he's getting ready to flood our churches with these people that are lost. And we have to be the ones that have the true light. We have to be the ones standing for holiness. We have to be the ones standing for righteousness, because they can't see in us the same thing that they saw out there on the streets. But my Jesus, help us, God, help us. Help us, calm down, calm down. You remember Saul? Remember, he was anointed. But God had left him and still left him in position. Are you hearing me? That is why it's sometimes hard to recognize when you have left the covering of God, because you're still in position. That's why you have to do a self-examination. You have to be on your knees in prayer. You have to be before God and say, Lord, please show me me. Lord, please, whatever's hindering me, take it out, remove it, reveal it. Show me where I'm going wrong. Make every crooked place straight. God, shine the light on me while it's just me and you, before the light gets shined and everybody can see. No, Lord, please don't do that. Let me hear you. God, when you say no, it's no. God, if you tell me to cut off, then I got to cut off. God, if you tell me I got to leave, I got to leave. But you got to be ready to come back in the house and be under the rules of God. I have to make this cry. I have to make this plea. If this message right here can just go around the world and touch every person that is in their home right now that think that they're hopeless, or any preacher or pastor that think that he has done so wrong and God is not going to forgive them, please hear my voice and hear my cry. Just come back in the house. Just get up. Turn around, leave it. I'd rather be under the covering of God than to be out there with the wickedness of the world, because it's going to run out and they're not going to care nothing about you when it does. We're going to go to the phone lines in a minute as I'm closing. All you have to do is dial 1 if you want to get in on this conversation, because my heart is hurting for the people of God that I see are compromising, including myself, y'all. Remember, it had to come to me first. We're compromising with the world too much. There's a way unto man that seem right, but the end thereof is destruction. Seem mean that it's close, resemble, almost, I can't tell if it's fake or real. That's why you have to be under the anointing and the covering of God to have the discernment. The only way you're going to know if it's real is if you're in the house. You have to stay under his covering. So you have discernment, even have discernment within yourself to say, no, something ain't right. No, that ain't right. That ain't God. There is no sin, as Pastor E is opening up the lines and the Spirit of God is moving. There is no sin too great that God will not forgive. I don't care if you did. I don't care if you cheated. I don't care if you lied. I don't care if you stole. I don't care if you were caught in a sex scandal, scheme, money. I don't care. Money scandal. I don't care what it was. There is no sin too great that God won't forgive. No mistake that you have made that God won't show you how to correct. There's no situation impossible that God would not deliver you from. There's no hurt too great that God would not heal you. And there is definitely no secret that God doesn't already know. You're still called. You're still his son. You're still his daughter. Do you think that he would have put the story of the prodigal son in the Bible if he wasn't trying to tell us, listen, I don't care how far you go. I don't care how long you stay. But if you come back to me, I'm ready to receive you. I'm ready to forgive you. I'm ready to restore you. No, I'm not going to make you hired help. You're still my son. You're still my daughter. There's no fight too great that my God can't win. You can say I'm struggling with an addiction, or I'm struggling, I went back, I got drugs, alcohol, sex, money, gambling, I don't care. My God wins every fight. My God breaks every addiction. Just come back in the house. Just come back in the house. Pastor, you can open up the phone lines for me. When you finally come to yourself and look in the mirror, know that is not who God called you to be. Just come on back home. Great is the Lord, and he will deliver you. There is a victory that is waiting for you. Dial 1 if you want to get in the conversation, you have comments or issue and you need prayer. I'm here for you. Good evening, Pastor E.
Yes, ma'am. Hold on 1 second. Oh, that's what I'm doing. I got too much stuff going on. Good evening, woman of God. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Pastor E. How are you?
I'm checking myself. You write up all up in my little push and my little training session of watching me and holding me accountable. But as you were sharing that, I have to really, because this is one of those shout messages that need to be shouted. And as you said, you wish. Well, it could be. If everyone's listening, and I know we at least have about 50 people online on the connecting, about 10 to 15 on the connecting line, but online about 40 people. If 10 of us preachers did this on Sunday or any time we got a chance to speak it, it could be preached all over the place because the word, as you said in the beginning, there is no disclosure or there is no privacy act on it. The word is the word, and we can all share the word. But you drew me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. I was just teaching this last week in the wilderness training. It says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge." So if you're out there and you say you never knew the knowledge, and you're finding out something right now that could change your life, not talking to you. I'm talking to those of us that are always shouting Jesus and talking about we this, we that. We got these titles, we wear robes, we got platforms, and we're supposed to be. It says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation which will devour the adversary." See, when you are in this thing and you are claiming that you are in it, you can no longer play with the other side. You got to come all the way over. It's most important that we go all the way through. We go all the way over, and we give it all to God. And so I thank you for this word tonight that is confirming but also encouraging, because the truth hurts. I'm sitting there saying, oh, my God, I thought I was doing better. I thought, oh, I got to do more. It was uncomfortable, but it was encouraging because you're never fixed all the way. And if we ever give up, and this is going to drop on somebody real fast. When we give up on each other to say, oh, he made it, you know, I didn't make it. Don't give me that crown. Don't give me that acknowledgement, because I have not made it. I'm still working daily to get to making it.
Right.
The place that's prepared for me is not on earth, and I'm not going to get caught up in this earthly thing or in the dimensional war that I'm fighting to say I'm finished. Nope. Finally, my brother, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might right now. So I'm working on me, Pastor, getting me together now and accepting my call and my responsibility. So thank you so much for encouraging me and delivering a word that will not return void.
Amen. Because so many feel that they have done something so bad or so wrong because they have a title or position. And I don't know how, I can't say how, because I understand how we think that God is not going to forgive us because we feel that he holds us more accountable, which he does. But you still can act, you still can be forgiven. So it's like, you know, pastors and preachers, like I said, they're giving up thinking that, well, I done did this, and I might as well just go on and just leave this thing alone. I ain't going to never get right. No.
Come back
in the house. Come back in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Now.
Start back at the beginning, whatever. Start back at the basics. Start back in learning the books of the Bible. I don't care where you start. Don't leave the house. Just don't leave the house. Because that world out there is getting more dangerous for everybody and anybody. So, but if anybody got any questions or comments, if they dial one, I'm still here. But
dial one, come on in. It's your opportunity to get involved in the conversation. I had to get mine in first. So we are now opening the lines. Dial one will bring you into the conversation. I do see several of our covenant partners online, so feel free to join in or just give Pastor V a shout out, because she is launched, not launching, not thinking about it. She is launched. Her ministry is alive and well.
Yeah.
God is pushing right now as we speak, and we're proud to be covenant with her, and we want to celebrate you for what God is doing in your ministry and where he's taking the ministry. You're not going to be where you're at very long. And God has purpose and plan for you because you're purposed and planned. So that's my little prophetic slip in for you right there. I'm gonna throw Minister Terry under the bus unless she's working tonight, but we're gonna still throw her under. Good evening, Minister Terry. How are you, woman of God?
Uh-oh, she must be working. I haven't heard her in a long time. In a minute.
She came on last night. She was on last night. And she
was on
last night. And we're going to be generating a lot more energy here in this final quarter. We're in quarter three, which is we're doing some reformatting on some of the personal shows that I'm doing, and getting our commitments back up on every night of our broadcasting. So we thank God for favor and change. So if you're out there and you're listening, you say, I want to get a part, we got some slots. Sunday night is open. We're looking to do a joint venture together on Sunday night with several ministers that we all can kind of finish strong at the end of our work week as ministry, and encourage one another. Sunday nights, don't know the name, don't know what we're going to call it, but we know we are about to launch that. Mondays is getting ready to get back going. Tuesdays, man up. Wednesdays, the living word with Pastor Brenda is going to continue. Women Speak Now has not slowed down a bit, so we're excited. And Friday nights are also open too. Me and you, we don't think, we both just said we're going to take how long of a hiatus?
Yeah.
We ain't talked about it. We ain't talked about it in a while.
And it's interesting because everybody else was already talking about what we needed to talk about, so we really didn't need to repeat too much, especially Prophet. Prophet Dwayne get on there. He beat it already to put his foot in it. So
exactly. Well, one of our covenant sisters here, Minister Charlene, good evening, woman of God. Welcome to Women Speak Now and Be Heard with Pastor V.
Good evening. Praise the Lord. Right from my throat. It's still healing. But I said, you know, I'm going to give the devil a black eye. And say, keep on doing what you're doing. Keep that fire, keep that passion, keep that sensitivity. Because, you know, pastors have been committing suicide these last few years back. And so God only knows what's in their hearts, what they're feeling, their failure, and all these things like that. Not just singling out the pastors, but anybody that needs to know that God loves them. He loves their soul. He loves their soul. And, you know, if he didn't love our soul, he wouldn't have made such a great sacrifice for our soul. So, you know, just want to encourage you as your sister in Christ, you know, just keep continue to press on, you know, because sometimes we're on the on live, overcoming ourselves, overcoming the devil, the world, seeing anything that's in our nature that God has turned the lights on to purge out for us to repent for. Is a continual deliverance and sanctification that God is doing. And that's by his grace and his mercy. And so, you know, the Bible says that we're tempted from the things that's in us. You know, let us strip our own life. So, you know, it brings condemnation. It brings shame. It brings guilt. It makes us feel dirty and unclean and filthy. And so, but God, by his grace and mercy, knew, you know, that we were born in sin, that we would need to be cleansed. We need to repent. We need to be washed. And you know, I get it that pastors are preaching and shepherding, and it's not really singling them out. But I came a little late, and I heard you, you know, calling out, the clarion call for them to know that God loves them if they fail. But, you know, he loves all of us, and he really wants us just to acknowledge our fault and be able to, you know, sometimes they, because of them being in such a high rank as, you know, of saying, shepherding churches, you know, it's just my guess, being on the outside looking in, that it's a possibility they feel like, who can they confess to?
Right.
Who can they talk to? They won't look down on them and make them feel like they're being a hypocrite and anything like that. But it's God, you know, we kind of turn our hearts to God and say, Lord, I know I'm imperfect, but Lord, I failed you. You know, I've fallen short of your glory, but cleanse me and wash me. You know, because sometimes the world or the congregation can put a weight on the pastor and make them feel like they're next to Jesus. And they're not Jesus.
Right.
And they're not next to Jesus. But God, you know, he chose pastors. He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. And so the pastors need to also know that God's heart is for them, that he chose them to pastor a flock.
Yeah.
And so I just pray that if any of them can hear through my hoarse voice that as a sister in Christ, you know, I get it, because I would look at my pastors, not like they was Jesus, but like, wow, God has imparted so much wisdom and insight into their heart to be able to share with people that grow and become, you know, convicted to not be the same again. So, but the unique thing about that is they can be a pastor after God's own heart and continue to go from strength to strength, from glory to glory, in humility, knowing that God's got their back, that he's right. The only one that can hold them up. And if he's holding them up, they're not on a soapbox pointing at people like they have arrived. They're on a soapbox because God is telling them, now I'm going to deliver you, but I want you to encourage them that I can deliver them too. So it's a humility. It's not, we've been exposed. I know I have been exposed to people in leadership that have a little air about them that's kind of arrogant. And maybe they don't even see that. Maybe they are like that. But the unique thing is God wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit and the nature of Jesus Christ birthed and manifested and operating through us, no matter pastors or deacon or door greeter. So it's very, you know, it touches my heart that some pastors have committed suicide because they may have felt like they failed their congregation. And God is not telling them to be God over the congregation. He's telling them to shepherd them like the heart that he has for the congregation and for them and too. Like, so they're in the group. The pastor is at the pulpit, but he's still in the same room. He's still in the same room. So the grace is for him too and her too. The grace is for, you know, our soul salvation. And I'm not trying to keep on going, but I just have a passion and a conviction for God's mercy and grace, because if it wasn't for that, not one soul have any chance to be saved. So we have to be reminded, even this message was, even a little bit that I got, you know, and I heard the weeping in your voice. I said, Lord, that's the call of God to say, I love your soul. I love your soul, Pastor. I love your soul, leader. I love your soul, church member.
Yes.
That we don't have to play like everything's okay when everything's not okay. And so
that's right.
So that's all I want to say. And I just want to thank God for
you. You hit it. You hit it. You hit it. You hit it. But let me jump in, because.
Amen.
Let me jump in on this part here, because we be all in ourselves.
Right.
That's the problem. We be all in ourselves. Right. And you get a title and people respect you for the title. Like people just kind of overdo for the name pastor. I tell them straight up, wait a minute, dude, I'm just like you. I just have made a decision to be able to share my example to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
A pastor. That's a shepherd. That you lead people the right way, not your way. And we have so many people, and believe me, I experience it daily. Daily, I'm dealing with brothers that we're considered on the same level, but they be all about some stuff. I'll be like, man, y'all gotta need to get out yourselves, man, and really understand that to be Christ-like is submitting and is humbling and wanting to put somebody higher. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect, because I'm far from it. But I'm working daily to prepare myself to push somebody higher.
But let's bring it down a couple of steps, because like you said, you know, the call was for anybody that has left the house.
Amen.
But I understand too that there's a lot of leaders that are leaving now. But listen, like you said, as far as the title wife. There's a wife that feel like that she failed her title, and she doesn't want to be around.
Now.
Or there's a daughter
husband,
that feel like she failed
husband.
Her title. Or some feel like she failed his title. You understand what I'm saying? Because you said the people are hurting right now because there is an expectation upon them that they feel that they're failing. And not saying that we don't have expectations in the world, because again, that's how we measure growth, is by expectation. But one thing we have to let people know, especially when it comes to the house of God, listen, if you miss it, Don't let that shame, don't let that hurt, don't let all that fall on you. Don't do that. Come back in the house. There has to be somebody in the house that has a heart for these people and not judging them, condemning them, pointing their finger, telling them they ain't saved or whatever the case. We got to stop that foolishness.
And you know what, sister? I believe that God is shifting and shaking the church to wake up, to have that type of heart that you're talking about. Because we've been exposed to a lot of religious spirits, and I'm not judging nobody, just being honest, and that it comes across where you don't have the sensitivity or discernment to talk to your sister and brother, be led by the Spirit of God. And then, because if you do, will they receive it, or will they be too lifted up like, excuse me, let me pray for you? And you know, you see it, that God is telling you to pray for them. You know? So I'm just praying that with you, that God will begin to deal with our hearts so we can come out of the form and fashion of it and be sensitive to our brothers and sisters, to one another.
I know, Pastor E, I know you heard it. You know, when you be like, hey, man, you need to come over to the church. You know, you need to come. What I need to come over there for? They out here.
I'm in the club.
I got my guy with me. I don't want your kind of guy. You understand? There's not seeing a difference anymore in us.
Right.
And I know that it's hard because, again, we like our clothes, we like our this, or we like our ride, we like our whatever, whatever. But there's time that we have to make that step out of the world. Stop coming. He said, be not what conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can't compromise. Yeah. Conforming means compromise.
I don't mean to blow smoke, but I am living proof that you can still swag and be committed to God all the way.
Amen. I am living proof of it.
So, I'm talking about the ones that still want to drink their Hennessy. I'm talking about, you know I'm close swag. Now, you know I got my 5-inch heels and my eyelashes. I'm not changing that right now.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm talking about the ones that still want to, you know what I'm saying, want to be tipping and dipping and drinking and, you know what I'm saying, all this other stuff. No, there's some things that we need to start changing. When it comes to that, I can't come over to your house and see what you like
now,
that no more.
Why did you bring that up? Now, I was doing this meeting thing for, and it was a business situation, but it was all Christians. They start bringing in refreshments and stuff. And I look, and I pray one of them is on the line because I told them in their face, so I ain't talking about no behind nobody back. And when they came in, I was like, what y'all doing? Oh, we just get refreshments good. I was like, not that wine. You're not going to put that on my office. Oh, man, but, you know, some people drink. Some people drink. I say, not up in here. I say, now, you're going to use my office for a meeting that I'm thinking we're talking about going to higher levels and helping people, and we going to be drinking? Oh, no. They got mad at me. They was like, huh? We got people coming. They expecting this. Well, they going to expect it down the street because they ain't having it up in here.
Come on.
There's a time
and
a place.
You
got
to draw a line and be willing to stand a line. Now I lost some customers. I lost some potential customers. I lost some business. I lost some maybe friends. But I lose it all, man. But I'm not going to be – I am not going to compromise myself for other people just to get a dollar.
Amen.
Come on.
And I don't have no money. I'm broke, y'all, but all my bills are paid.
But listen, this is
my grandkids. My grandkids and my son are eating.
But listen, Pastor E, this is what this message is about. Those that did compromise, those that did have that meeting and had that wine, those that did, we're not judging you. Come back in the house. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's some people
that's without a doubt. I don't judge, but I'm just saying up in this house, I want to be very clear about that. Up in this house, you and I must be always willing to say, you know what, nah, bro, y'all can go down the street and do that, and I'm all with you having fun. Do what you do. But up in this house.
Exactly. You're right.
That's where the stand has to be and say, no, I still love you. No, I'm not mad at you. No, I'm not condemning you. But up in this house,
there has to be a standard somewhere, and it has to be.
I had to put signs on the wall. I had to put signs on the wall of certain things that just don't go down in this office.
Amen.
Anybody else want to get in this conversation? Because the fire is hot.
Got to stand.
We talking about Jesus. We left talking about it. We women speaking it now, man. Up and even got a little bit in it, and you can be a part too. And there are people here on the line, and I know
is Prophet Dwayne on the line. Is Prophet Dwayne on there? He must not be on there because he would have dialed in.
No, he would have dialed one. I think he's on the line, but he's probably working at the same time.
Okay.
So, bless y'all. Woman of God, you did it. Thank you, Minister Charlene. You started off last week. Did you listen to last week?
Fire! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, she preached.
She preached and did. This is what she said. She said, okay, good night, bye. I'm like, man, she's
good night, bye. That was it. Look, check this out. And I've been preaching. I've been preaching four different ways. I didn't preach that sermon four times. I'm built for this.
Oh, wow.
She said, okay. She was like, okay, bye. Okay. I was like, and then the music just started playing. I said, okay, well, in the name of Jesus,
as soon
we
as she said that, I said, love you guys. I love my family. I love my family. Pastor V, for all those out there that are covenant, know that we are covering your ministry,
Thank you. Spirit and truth.
Ministry is in the family. We are covenant with you. We stand with you. We are praying with you. We're interceding with you, and we're supporting you. And so you guys out there that looking for good ground, I know you don't want to say it because none of us do, but those of you out there that are looking for good ground to sow in to receive harvest, here we are right now, Spirit of Truth Ministries. They need your help. We need your help. We're working this thing together. No matter even, you know, you said you wish we're in the same place. We are. Spiritually, we are all in the same place right now. Let's support our sister. Let's sow into her ministry. And you may not have money, but you may be able to help her make calls. You may be able to send out flyers. You may be able to do a lot of things from where you are to help her. Do not limit yourself because you're out of state or you're not in the you're not in Wisconsin. That you can still help her, that you can still help her from California.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you catch that earlier? She said that you're getting your summer now.
Yeah. We're just not getting that summer.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ain't got ours. It's still 75 every day, sunshine every day.
So the Cali Life Ministries, for those that are in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, will be located in the lower level of Mayfair Mall. Sunday, August 4th will be the first service, and at 11:30. So please come on out. August 4th.
Now will you be going live? That people who aren't in Wisconsin that want to support because of the time zone, some people that are doing nothing at 9 a.m. here could share. You know, could follow you there. Are you going to be going live and having that access?
I'm going to probably not starting off because, again, remember, I got to get in this and I got to get comfortable, you know, with what's going on.
Right.
This is a whole nother level for me, a new direction, a place that I've never been before. Yes, I can follow in the footsteps of other people, but I'd rather follow in the footsteps of God. So
Jesus.
I just have to let him talk me through and walk me through this. But I do have a great conference that's about to come up on September 28th. So I already got my first conference, and that's called Speak the Truth. And we're going to be talking about abuse. We're going to be talking about addictions. We're going to talk about relationships. Again, just like I talk the truth here, I'm going to be talking the truth there because I have a lot of people that are hurting and don't know how to get free from these, you know, from these different things. So we'll have a conference on September 28th. So I'm just going with the flow
Hallelujah.
Right now.
Amen.
Just going with his flow. All right.
Well,
I just heard it in the spirit.
Yeah. I'm a hurt in the spirit as you were speaking. That the Now Network is going to come to Wisconsin. I'm talking about Minister Charlene, Minister Terry, Prophetess Lisa, Pastor Dwayne, Sir Ryan Davis. I can see that. The Now Network coming up there, the Spirit and Truth. My God.
Yes.
But I got to come first I got to break ground first. I got to come by myself first and break ground.
Yes. I was so loving. Yes. I already listened. I got money set aside for your ticket, so I'm saving towards that ticket so you can get here.
Hallelujah.
But I am thanking God. I'm blessing God for just all the covenant partners, like you said, across the country that, again, remember when I started over a year ago, I didn't think that this was possible. So you guys have taken this journey with me. And look where we are right now. We're starting another ministry up under the covenant of God.
Yes.
So
hallelujah.
This is a blessing. So if you think that you couldn't do it, hey, inbox me, because I'm going to tell you that the fear that I walked through, the anxiety that I walked through, the criticism that I walked through, the people turning their back on me that I walked through, man, when I, Pastor E can tell you, I walked through some hurt, some serious hurt to get here. But
ooh,
I couldn't stop
Jesus.
Because I knew it was God. You can't stop when you know it's God. When God says it, he got you. And now I'm on the other side with victory. Pastor E, I could care less now. It's all God.
Come on
and
now.
It's all good.
Come on. Now, I'm going to let you pray us out of here after this. But if you're ready for an assignment, I would love to see a mixed novel of all of us with a chapter saying you can do it.
Come on. Yeah. All right. Get it. All you got, write
I'm ready to write. I'm ready to write. But no, you the publisher. You, come on now. I'm putting it on your lap.
Wow. Amen.
Write that chapter and get it to
Let's get a chapter. Let's get a chapter of let's put a challenge out. I have a book How God Loved Us, and we only had like 7 people to respond, and we're really expecting more. You know what? I am going to take that back up and publish that and get those 7 writings out there, very small little paragraphs and stuff. But we need a whole chapter from everybody that Pastor Melores okays to put in a chapter of You Can Do It. Let's write that book together. You Can Do It.
Okay.
And see how similar they all end up.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. Send me the names and trust me, we can have this book done within the next 30 days.
Mr. Charlinda said wow twice, so I know she's in. Mr. Terry, I know she's in. I'm in. I'm going to challenge all my coveted partners to get in, and we'll talk offline to get that started. But I'm telling you, some things are dropping in the spirit. I'm like prophetically speaking.
There you go.
And with you guys allowing me to do that, I think we all need to move. When? Now.
Now.
Chris, out of here.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise you, God. Lord, right now, I do want to make a call. If there's anybody right now that's in their heart and their spirit feeling down and out, God, feeling that they cannot be forgiven, God, feeling, Lord, that they have done something too great that is unforgivable right now. Father, we receive them back in the house in the name of Jesus.
In the
name of Jesus. We repent for all our sins. We repent for those things that we've done. We repent for those things, God, when we walked away from you. We repent for those things that we said and that we said. Or that we did in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, Father, hear our heart and hear our cry. We surrender back to you, oh God. Here we come, Lord. We're walking up the road. We're on our way back to the house, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. All we need you to do is just receive us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And God, you will restore them right back to where they were, oh God. They're still your son. They're still your daughter. You still love them, oh God. You have not dropped a love ounce of love for them, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, as their brothers and sisters, we're not going to be like the son that was left at home and that want to be a hater on the party, God. We're going to celebrate when our brothers and sisters come back home, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you. We care for you. We're here for you. We're here to counsel you. We're here to help you. We're here to encourage you in the mighty name of Jesus. So, God,
in the mighty
I ask, Lord,
name
that your
Jesus.
Spirit rest upon them right now. Lord, and rest
Thank
upon
you,
this
Lord.
Broadcast. Rest upon every prophetic word that has been coming out of the mouth of the prophet on today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Manifest those things, oh God. Manifest them coming to Wisconsin. Manifest the book, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Let mighty
those
name
things
of Jesus.
That you will cry for what you will want it to do, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys.
Bless God bless you.
Oh, ha.
Come on. Y'all remember when you went left to right?
Hey, baby mama.
Don't
you already know, though. Check it out. Hey. They wanna ask how long I'll be here. I say forever, let's just be clear. I'm really loving you. I'm really loving you. Now everybody that's up in here, throw your breath up so it's clear. I'm really loving you.
To show you that it's certain.
Okay.
When my hands up, I call it worse.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's real. Yeah, I know it's real.
Oh, dear.
came in perfect. No, I never ever nervous. Everything you say, believe her. No, I never ever leave her. I ain't stepping down off this word. I'ma keep this thing clear, that's for sure.
Well, hey. They wanna ask how long I'll be here. I say forever, let's just be clear. I'ma be loving you
all my life.
I'll be loving you
all my life.
Well, I'm now everybody that's up in here, throw your breath up so it's clear. I'll be loving you
all my life.
My mind,
never
done the love of God.
They wanna ask how long I'll be here.
Well,